Blog Talk Radio.
Said she tired of little money, need a big boy. Pull up 20 inch blades like I'm Lil Troy. Now it's everybody flocking, need a decoy. Shorty mixing up the vodka with the liquor. G-Wagon, 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 G-Wagon. All the housewives pulling up. I got a lot of toys. 720S pumping Fallout Boy. You was talking shit in the beginning. Back when I was feeling unforgiving. I know I pissed you off to see me winning. See the hit glue in my mouth and I be grinning. 100 bands in my pocket, it's on me. 100 deep when I roll like the army. Get more bottles, these bottles are lonely. It's a moment when I show up, God, I'm saying wow. 100 bands in my pocket, it's on me. Yeah, your grandma more probably know me. Get more bottles, these bottles are lonely. It's a moment when I show up, God, I'm saying wow. Everywhere I go, catch me on the block like a Mutombo. 750 Lambo in the Utah snow. Trunk in the front like a shit Dumbo, yeah. Cut the roof off like a nip tuck. Pull up to the house with some big butts. Turn the kitchen counter to a strip club. Me and Dre came for the When I got quiet, all of y'all disappear. Before I drop stunning, none of y'all really care. Now they always say congratulations to the kid. And this is not a 40, but I'm pouring out this shit. Used to have a lot, but I got more now. Made another hit, cause I got bored now. Always going for it, never pump, fuck down. Last call, Hail Mary, Prescott, touchdown, hey. 100 bands in my pocket, it's on me. 100 deep when I roll like the army. Get more bottles, these bottles are lonely. It's a moment when I show up, God, I'm saying wow. 100 bands in my pocket, it's on me. Yeah, your grandma more probably know me. Get more bottles, these bottles are lonely. It's a moment when I show up, God, I'm saying wow.
One, two, one, two.
Hey, Mr. Nuba, birthday boy, happy birthday. I hope you turned up.
I turned up, all right. I turned them covers up. By then, I would slept through the day.
That's a shame. Now, I was hoping you were going to tell me it's going down this weekend. You know what? I think I posted two on your page. You look pretty good to be 62.
We're interviewing San Antonio's top comedian. I didn't think it would be you with the jokes.
That's funny.
I got jokes. Listen, speaking of which, this dude right here, he is freaking hilarious. I've seen him in his shows at the Last Out Loud comedy show. I'll be checking him out on Saturday. Mr. Clifton, man, Simmons, we go back. We actually graduated from the same high school. Just real good people. We got a team of dudes that's coming, and they're going to get the funny. You hear me?
Okay.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to work with y'all today and be on the show. We've been trying to do it for a couple months now.
Show and let us know
Thank you. Yeah.
Cool. So tell us a little about yourself.
A little bit about myself. I've been doing comedy for about 10 years. I'm from the west side of San Antonio. Grew up with a lot of Mexicans. You know, I was a black bean in a pencil bean bowl. You know, I'm a single father. I got both my kids, a 12-year-old and a 5-year-old. They're my motivation to keep comedy going. And I've been doing comedy for 10 years, but for the past 2 years, it started to make sense. You know?
That's how it do. That's how he do you. That's right.
And so I've been doing really well, but in the beginning, I wasn't getting a lot of local love. People that would come out was my family and my friends, but when I would go out of town, I would actually gain fans. And I don't know whose mic, if someone could put one of their mics on mute, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of stuff in the background.
You hear something?
Hello? Yeah, there's like a... Yeah, so...
Hold on.
I started off at River Center Comedy Club downtown. I was a regular there, and then I was a regular at both show clubs, and I'd done some tours, but like the tour that really did it for me was this Hodge Twin tour. It's these YouTube sensations. Once I went on tour with them, that's when everything just started like coming together and making sense. You know, I was doing New York, Carolina's on Broadway. I won San Antonio's Most Awesome Comic that same year. Well, no, I won that, and then I was at the verge of quitting comedy because I was going through a really, really nasty custody battle, and it was like I had to drop like $10,000. I have to, like, get a regular job because it's hard to explain that you do stand-up comedy for a living to a judge.
Right, exactly. Who's going to watch the kids, funny man?
Yeah, you
right,
know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's going to look like a real job, you know what I'm saying? And so, right when I, like, literally quit doing comedy, that's when all these like doors just started to open. I started getting regular booking. I got more serious about it. Like, I started branding myself. So it's been we paying bills. I ain't balling. I'm not balling yet, but I'm definitely paying bills now. So,
well, you know,
with comedy
that's
money.
How it starts out. Your story is going to inspire somebody else who think they funny, who might be funny, got jokes, or just want to get up, you know, real life stories for a lot of people. The way you put them down can be hilarious if you look at it that way. You know, you can turn tragedy into something funny, and so on and so forth. So some of the things, I'm sure you got material with what you have had to go through and still going through to get custody, have custody of your kids, and just being a single father in itself, which should take you through the remainder of the year with the stories, you know what I'm saying? So I can just imagine. I know when we came, me and my best friends came out to see you at the Laugh Out Loud at the comedy spot there. That was we was rolling. It was pretty good. Who's on your advertisement? You have what's the
I
name
have
of the
Mike
group?
Gert. I have the Rat Packs of Comedy. I'm really excited about that show. This is something I'm also used to show. They're in Houston, Texas. And they've been doing comedy for over been on tour. They've been on TV, the Time Joyner Cruise. So we've been getting a lot of requests about bringing them down here. It's going to be inside Breathe Lounge.
Okay.
And
so now, they're coming all
the people on it
three of them, right?
It's four of them. Terry Grossman.
Four.
You know, it's four of them. Yeah, four of them. Terry Grossman. He's been on BET a couple times. He's done some other stuff. And then you got Shed G. He's a clean comedian, and he toured with Prince for a while. And then you got D. Ellis, Mr. Entertainment. He's the Dallas King of Comedy. He's a radio personality, and he does a lot of Tom Joyner's cruises. He's the comedian on that one. Jokes, Q Coleman. He's touring all over. And it's kind of almost like a new stand-up, but they also, it's like an 85 South type show where they have some improv in it. Hello?
That sounds good. So it's gonna be like a show. This is on Saturday, and is this a tour? You guys are gonna be in San Antonio, and then where y'all gonna be after that?
I haven't looked at their tour dates. I'm going to be doing a show pretty soon in the Valley, the Rio Grande Valley. But I think they're going to Houston next. But they're the Rat Packs of Comedy. They're an actual group. Yeah. So.
Oh, okay. So all of them.
Yeah,
They go together all the time. Okay, that's what I was trying to figure out.
Yeah,
what's
yeah.
the Rat Pack? Okay, got it. So,
yeah. Right now, they're actually four hit. They're four different headliners. They can all. They're considered a headliner.
Mm-hmm.
All four of them. Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. They've been around for quite a while now, right?
Nah, they like the comedians. They've been out for a while, but the actual group
okay.
is actually new.
Okay.
Okay, so they're coming down here to bring that fire to San Antonio on Saturday, September the 7th. And what's the time?
The time is 7:30. Every pre-sale ticket comes with a drink.
Okay.
But it's from 7:30 to 10 is the comedy.
Okay, and you got it's the Breeze Lounge. Tell us about the Breeze Lounge. They serving food in there as well?
We're gonna have a barbecue food truck pull up, and then after from 10 to 11 after the show is over, we're gonna have $3 you call it, and then we're gonna have an after party, a turn up.
Oh, at the club after the show. So once you in there for the comedy show, you in there for the party, after party as well.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good little
combination.
Yeah. So after you, because usually after the comedy show, everybody just goes to the house or they go to the after party spot. So I'm told. So yeah. So after the comedians do their thing, y'all do y'all thing, then everybody can go ahead and get the joke on.
Yeah, we're going to have a little turn up, give out some door prizes, and have a little
tour. Who's the dude that's promoting the Breeze Lounge? Because he's always bringing something to that, too. I haven't been there in a while. It was called something else back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Say that again.
For a sec, you said something about back in the day?
Yeah, who is the dude that's promoting the Breeze Lounge? It used to be called something back in the day, something else back in the day, but he's always bringing something to the lounge.
There's several promoters that promote out of the Breeze Lounge. I know the owner is K Rock. He used to own Club Maroc and 8811.
I know K Rock. I didn't know K Rock owned the Breeze Lounge. You know,
yeah,
he was over there off of, he had had that spot over there off of 281. He had it nice in there. It was outdoor, though, you know.
Yeah,
had
Rock.
That spot.
Rock.
Yeah. And then something
and
happened. It was. He moved it.
And that was. Yeah, that was the bowling alley.
Right.
The bowling
right.
alley.
Didn't
like
that was kind of nice,
yeah.
That little spot he had. But it, you know, when you go and it's cold outside, you do get a little chilly in San Antonio for a week or two.
About
so,
to say for a week.
Yeah.
He had heaters,
so,
but
I know
K-Rock, that was.
Shout out to K Rock. I did not know he owned the Breeze Lounge.
Yeah, that and
that's
that was the reason, one of the reasons why. That's one of the reasons why I'm having the show there. You know, it's a black business. You know.
Right.
And he's really doing a great job working with me, getting me stuff that I need. The hospitality has been great, and he's excited about the show as well.
Right, that's a good dude too. See, you know, we have to support each other. We definitely have to support each other, especially here in San Antonio. It don't make no sense. And you know, this is just your stepping stone. You know. When you blow up and you just, you know, just out of control, you're going to remember HubNet, the interview that we gave you here at HubNet Online Radio. It's just a matter of time. You know what happens. You know what happens when you blow up.
Hello?
You get to moving up out of the city and all that.
Y'all there?
Yep, we here. Can you hear us?
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, can you hear us?
Okay, I can hear you now.
Okay. So, yeah, I said once you blow up, you get to move into California, New York, you know, where it's popping at. And don't forget about us here in San Antonio.
Yeah, man, what I'm going to do with that is I'm going to do it just because, you know, because I did look into New York and L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's just, I'd rather just go out there if I'm booked out there or for, like, an audition.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's because you now with social media, you could literally do it anywhere.
Right. Yeah, and you can live where you want to live. This is the time
yeah,
of
I just don't see my,
when
yeah.
you're on the road.
Yeah, maybe when the kids get older, I just don't see myself, like, raising kids in L.A. or New York.
Well, you never know, though. The money calls you that way, and you got to be, you know, hosting a club.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You might have to, that's what, you know, them dollars come
yeah.
through, you might have to make a move. When you blow up,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, if I already have a deal, I'm down to do it. I wouldn't just cold turkey. And how long have y'all been doing the radio?
HubNet Online, we've been here, what? We just celebrated 2 years.
Congratulations.
We just celebrated 2 years. Yep, last month. Yep. It was been...
And what's
year.
Y'all...
Been,
and what's y'all's main... What's y'all's... What are some of y'all's main goals in the radio industry?
Well, my producer, Hakim, we actually, there's some things that we're working on. We got a few shows that we have here on the network. We got the pastor, shout out to Pastor D. Townsend bringing the word on Sunday on the Jubilee Affair. We have, I have two more shows that I'm trying to line up. We had recently just released one. And then eventually, you know, I'm looking towards the holidays. I'm looking to come to Philly. Hakim is located in Philly, and I'm looking to come to Philly and see what we're going to do, how we're going to expand the network out that way. We may venture into getting a studio. We got some out on, especially on the East Coast part of the states, is where we get those interviews where people want to come in and sit down with us. So you know the traditional setup for.
Yeah.
For normal radio networks, or you know, where we headed, but we kind of like being able to. I like being able to have my laptop and my phone, and to be sitting in the Bahamas or Jamaica or wherever, and do my show wherever I want to do it. That was the idea when we started out 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you could get people gotcha. To you can get we've interviewed quite a different people all over. You can get people out the country, inside the country. as long as they can get the interview in and talk with us on their in the privacy of their own home, you know, or whatever they got going on. If you got to get somebody to come into the studio, sometimes it's difficult, you know, for somebody to come in, especially you kind of limited yourself to your city if you do it that way, is what I'm trying to say.
Do y'all ever do like a live remote where, like, let's say if I'm having an event,
We did one in New Jersey. I did it at Network owner.
We did a joint event with another network I'm affiliated with, and it was like a sister friend to the show, Queen Va. So, you know, ultimately the goal is to build this into a real online radio and podcasting network where people can come and create their own content, and we'll facilitate it and put it out for them. And, you know, and we want to support Black businesses, Black broadcasters, comedians, entertainers, you know, singers, rappers, whatever you got. You know, we want you to come on down.
Mm-hmm. Right. It don't matter what city you in. Now, here in San Antonio, you're looking at, here in San Antonio, sometime within the next 6 months or so, I've been scouting out some venues. Now, I got something else. I did not know K-Rock was the owner of the Breeze Lounge. And you're right, a bunch of promoters be coming in, bringing all kind of stuff, concerts as well as comedians to that lounge. So I might have to get in his ear. Reach out to him. But there's a couple of venues that I'm looking at that we may be sponsoring some shows as well as some concerts ourselves here in San Antonio.
Quick question. What turned you to comedy? What made you want to make that your direction to go on?
I was always the class clown in school. Poetry and like hip hop was like my thing, but it seemed like everybody and their mama was rapping, and I didn't want to be that dude at the gas station talking about, "Hey man, you like hip hop? I got a CD." You know what I mean? It just felt like it was saturated, and I tried it one time, and I liked it. I've been acting since I was a kid in plays and stuff, and I was in theater arts. And one of the things that I liked about it, it's like therapy. I get a lot of my it helps me relieve a lot of my stress. Sometimes I don't even go and do jokes like at an open mic. Every now and then I'll like go off the head. An actual show if I'm comfortable. But, you know, I have an actual routine. So, it's been like therapy, and it's pretty cool. Cool that people, after doing it for so long, you know, you build like a fan base. Like, you know, sometimes it catches me off guard. Like, when you go out of town to a place where you're not from, and, you know, I've been going to, like, New Mexico and, like, the Rio Grande Valley, like, early on, and I got people that have been following me all these years. Like, my fans have become, like, family and friends. You know what I mean? I keep up with them.
Exactly. That's how it is having a network. Yep. I have a lot of fans and stuff and people to reach out to me. You know, with the network and the shows and my shoe line and stuff like that. And I'm like, what? Yeah. That's what social media is all about. That's one thing that has helped. That's a part of branding. And once you got a following, you're on your way.
Yeah, and as long as I can possibly can, I'm going to try to keep it like that. Like, let's say if I do a show in the city, I hang out afterwards and I get their information. And so when I come back, I give them, I literally give them, "Hey, Jason, I'm coming to town on this date. We should hang out. Bring your friends."
Right.
So it's not like I'm coming to see the comedian Clifton Simmons. I'm coming to see my friend Clifton Simmons.
Right. And that makes it fun.
Yeah, and I don't want to be, I don't want to ever be to the point where I'm unapproachable.
Right.
You know what
That's
I mean?
True.
My goal is,
especially
my goal
social
is
media
to be able to,
these
days. Yeah. My goal is, at the end of the day, is really just to pay the bills. You know what I mean? I have other goals, but like comedy is really not my end game. I want to eventually become a promoter, a manager, something behind the scene that's still in the industry. Like I still have my comedy aspirations. It's just with the game is very sensitive nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a very edgy comic, you know.
Even though
like there's people that like follow me and show me love, you know what I mean, there's also people that are just not going to like me.
True. You think it's different now? You got to watch what you say these days. What is more?
Yeah,
so?
it's very. Yeah, you'll piss the wrong group off, and they'll mute you. I've seen people at a lower level, like even my level, at my level, career just end because they didn't did the wrong thing. They just said the wrong thing.
Yeah. Well, then did you bring up the topic of?
Hello,
you there? There you go. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish your statement.
Yeah, and I'm not even talking about like just big names. Like there's people that I know that will piss off. You can piss off the wrong person. They'll make a few phone calls and say, hey, if you book this person, we're gonna blast you on social media. Like I've seen. If you do shows with this person, that means you support this cause.
Yeah. Well, you know, we saw the backlash with Dave Chappelle. You know, he caught it both ways at one point or another since he signed on with Netflix. So I definitely understand what you're saying. Something that you mentioned earlier, I wanted to touch on when you mentioned about your routine. That inquires, could you tell for because I'm definitely going to play this to comics who want to get in the game. Could you elaborate on what a routine is a little bit, what the prep and all that stuff, what it takes to get ready for that?
Yeah, it's a lot of repetition of learning how to know what works. You know, I can write a new joke, and sometimes it's a matter of taking some stuff out, adding some stuff. But that comes after performing it 100 times. A lot of these people that you see on like specials, before they recorded their special, they performed it almost like for a whole year. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so the difference between me and them is they got a writing team. You know, I have a couple buddies that I might, you know, work on some jokes with.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, I get a lot of my material from really just being on stage.
Okay.
And I'll throw something out. Like the way how I, not all comedians, I'm just speaking for myself. The way how I write is I got my regular stuff and I might throw something to see what it, like, if it hits. And I might try that like 10 times before I decide to throw it away.
I like that. That's everybody has their technique, and it sounds like that's the one that works for you. You know what I mean? And I've interviewed quite a few comedians, and it seems like everybody has their own way. You know what I mean? It's almost like you're, because at the end of the day, you're a writer too, right?
Yeah, I'm a writer, but honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. I think I know how to sell really bad jokes. I think my biggest gift on stage is I'm very likable, and my stage presence is so sick, and I've been performing for so long that I can get the crowd to do whatever I want them to do. Because I've had comics write me some jokes, and I'm just talking about, I have jokes that I've written for myself, and I keep it real. The crowd loves them, but in my head, I'm like, that was horrible. You know what I'm saying? And I really strongly feel it's just because I think I'm just a very likable person, and I get very dramatic with it. So I will admit some of that gives me a little bit more. Because there's people that I've seen that are really great writers that I was like, dang, if I can have his jokes, I'll be thebomb.com. But they were horrible performers. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I was about to say, like, you know, a good joke can be told the wrong way. And if it was told the right way, it was probably funny. So,
yeah,
like go ahead.
Kind of like hip hop, you got mumble rappers.
Mm-hmm.
They are really good at performing and writing a good beat. And then you got rappers that got bars and lyrics that will touch your spirit. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm trying to think
of
another example. What's a better?
So now, when you have you ever bombed a show or been booed off the stage?
Man, it was like my second year in. It was about, I think it was like almost 8 years ago. I was doing really. I was starting to get a little bit momentum, or I thought I was on some level. It was at the, I get a phone call saying, "Hey, can you get to the Alamo Dome? $300, 30 minutes." Back then, I wasn't getting paid that much, so when I heard $300, I was like, "Dang, for 30 minutes?" I said, "Yes." What I didn't know was I was opening up for Frankie Beverly and the Maze. I was like, when I get there, Frankie and Beverly Maze is there. I'm like, cool. But another thing I didn't know was he has a big Christian following. On top of that, they didn't let me know that the show, well, I knew the show was running late. I didn't know I was covering for another comedian that they actually paid for by the name of J. Anthony Brown. He was hot at the time. And so when I get on stage, I'm doing really well for 15 minutes. Like, cause the first 15 minutes of my set is usually clean. I get them warmed up. I did one dirty joke, you know what I'm saying? And I, like, kind of lost the crowd, but I kind of gained them back. And this lady yells out, "Get off the stage."
What?
And I say, "That's cute. I remember the first time I had beer." The whole crowd laughs. I get them back. I go another 5 minutes. "Get the F off of stage." I was like, "Ma'am, I don't go to your house slapping dicks out your mouth." And all you heard was, "Ooh." And then it got quiet. And all I heard was, "Ooh." I knew if I got off stage early that they weren't gonna pay me. So not only I was getting booed. Imagine getting booed and you had to stay on stage.
Yeah.
I still had to continue performing throughout the boos. You know?
Wow.
And I felt like crap. I was depressed. I wanted to cry. But then they paid me my money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I realized, like, wow. Because I was, that was like, out of all the shows, most of the shows I've done, that's like the most memorable. Cause it never happened again after that, but yeah, that was like,
yeah.
The one and only time I ever got booed off stage.
You live and you learn, huh?
Yeah. Also, I mean, you got to learn how to pick your battles. You know what I mean?
Right.
So when I get booked, what I do is I send in my contract. In my contract, I say, before you sign this contract, I urge you to look at my social media and my videos to make sure I'm what you want. Because I'm an acquired taste. Like, even though I am getting momentum, I'm getting love, people see me and they might think, oh, he's a black comedian. I just happen to be a comedian that happens to be black. So I don't have, like, I don't have stereotypical black jokes. You know what I mean? I don't do Def Jam. I can do it. I don't do, like, Def Jam Comic View style. You know what I mean? I'm more of a, you know, neutral. I have crossed over. And I'm very edgy. Like, I don't cuss in my act. And I think because I don't cuss in my act, I get away with a lot more than the average comedian when I do get dirty. Cause I take your mind there. Like, I don't say nothing nasty. I just say something that takes your mind to a nasty place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My wordplay is real sick too.
How did you develop that style? You trial and error?
Because,
why did you decide not to use profanity?
Because at the comedy club, the main gigs I was getting was the hosting spot, and the host had to be clean for 15 minutes. And so I wanted to still. I noticed when I tried to be super clean, it came off very cheesy. You know what I'm saying? When I found out what the definition of clean, well, for the comedy club, what was considered clean in the comedy club, I like to push things on the edge as far as I can go without going over the edge.
Right. Right. So when you think about comedians before and now, who is it that you kind of feel like that's kind of like your style, or you kind of, you know, you can probably work the same kind of crowd they work? And who do you think is as a comedian? I always want to ask comedians, who do you think is hilarious?
I believe that I'm my own person, but I'm what you if Robin Williams and D.L. Hughley met up and had a baby, and then that baby met up with Louis C.K. and Eddie Murphy, and they hooked up and had a baby, I would say that would be me. You know?
I think Bernie Mac used to kill me. He used to kill me, and that was before he even got his own show. I think he was freaking hilarious.
Yeah, Robin Williams is who inspired me to do stand up the most.
I've never seen Robin Williams in stand up.
What? That's what he was mainly known for.
What? Are you kidding me?
What?
Yeah, I mean, I knew he did it, but I never just sat up there and watched one of his shows. I didn't really know until he started acting, when he came out in Morton. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, that's crazy. He did have a real success. Go.
And I know that's where you came from, and I'm going to tell you why. I can honestly say I can stand up and be a grown person about mine, own up to my shit, my stuff. There's not too many comedians that I watch that are not of African American. I usually watch black comedians. I used to like Seinfeld. I used to like him. And I used to like Gary, what was the white man's name that had the show? Gary
Owen?
No. The older white dude. He used to have his own show. but for stand up, you know, being funny, like, you know, shows like that. But then to watch a comedian, I can't think of not one a white dude that I've ever watched or I was like, well, it hit, I might have started watching it and I was like, well, you know, I don't know why. I don't know why. That sense of humor to me, it just never grabbed me. But that's somebody like Bill Bellamy. Bill Bellamy's another one.
He's one of my favorites.
Yeah, because he tells the way he tells, excuse me, tells the story. He's real animated with his. Ever since he was on Def Comedy Jam, you know. And then of course the king of all is for me is God darn it, Martin Lawrence. That's it.
Yeah. Nice.
Well,
all right.
Quick, here's a good one for you. I always ask this when I interview a comedian. You're in the back room, and three legends are coming to give you tips. Who would you want them to be?
Oh, that's a good question. Bill Cosby. That's funny. I'm just joking.
Tips on what do we talk about?
That's not funny.
What kind of tips we talking? Oh man, we just lost them. All right.
You got disconnected?
Yeah, he got disconnected.
I think he was in his car too. Let's see if he called back in.
Yeah.
Well,
I cannot believe you. Oh, here he is. All right, let's put him back on.
Alright, so yeah.
Hey, there you go.
Best advice, it'll probably be either D.O. Hughley or Robin.
Okay.
Because, D.O. Hughley already does that. Like, and what was cool about it, he's been doing it since, like, I was kind of new. Like, he approaches me like an uncle. He remembers me, and he makes me set goals, and he doesn't want to hear that I've been doing the same thing, or if I have been doing the same thing, why am I doing the same thing? You know, are they not letting me? He'd be like, talk to this guy. He's the manager at this club. You know, he said you can name drop me. You know, and then also if I can't get through to something, I can get through to his manager. So, the reason why I would say him because he actually does do it, you know, gives
gotcha.
Me advice. I mean, I'll take some advice
that's
from Adam Sandler. He's had a very successful. Adam Sandler's had a very successful career, so.
Yeah, it still is. You know, he got that big lucrative deal going on with Netflix, where you know he keeps pumping them movies out left and right, man. It's like a new one every 2 months.
Yeah. Wow.
See, I don't think Adam Sandler's all that funny. Like the Water Boy and stuff, I just turned the channel. It was stupid to me. That's not my kind of humor.
And to be honest with y'all, like I don't want to be like if I was to continue to do stand up, I wouldn't want to be like stupid famous. I would only want to be famous enough to be able to. You know, I have a couple, like a Netflix special, but like still be able to go eat out with my kids.
Yeah.
Like the people that follow me are just people that are really, really into my stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like an underground artist.
Why wouldn't you want to blow up?
Because it's not for everybody. It's not,
exactly.
It's not for me. I'm going to want to go to HEB. At, you know what I'm saying, 2 o'clock in the morning with eye boogers and pajamas, you know.
Amen
yeah,
to that.
I'm going to want it.
You comedians can get away with that. That would be freaking hilarious if somebody
you
put
got,
that on Instagram. Look at Kristen.
No, that's not funny, though. Like, that's not funny, though.
Like,
it's kind of like.
Yeah, you. I would imagine
I'm with
that you would want to control
or,
that.
Man,
yeah.
Yeah, I seen Cliff at the store. He looked rough, man. He looked like he on drugs. You know what I'm saying? But the average person can do that, but a celebrity couldn't do that.
Well, what you gonna do if you blow up?
If I'm a manager. Yeah, I would like imagine that. You can control your success. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to be stupid. I wouldn't want to be Kevin Hart. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather be like Louis C.K. Like Louis C.K., he still drops his kids off. He doesn't perform on certain days of the week.
Well,
you know what I mean?
That might because he got a little bit of trouble recently, but
he's been he was doing that way before he got in trouble.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he only performs on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and during the week he still drops his kids off at school.
Nice.
And don't get it twisted. Like if a gig is on another day and it's paying the right amount, I'll do it. But even Charlie Murphy was like that. He was still dropping off his kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't want to be. This is not for. And plus, I plan on like getting more behind the scenes eventually.
Gotcha.
Yeah, being the king of comedy is not the goal. It's just comedy is what's paying the bills right now.
Mm. Well, in your opinion, who do you think is the king of comedy at this point?
I think you have multiple kings. I think you have an empire, and it really depends on what. There's different genres. There's different styles of comedy. So you can't really say who is the king. But if I had to say there was a king that I could see like more majority of people would probably agree on, it would probably be Dave.
Yeah.
Oh.
Dave or Kevin.
Yeah.
It's gonna be Dave or Kevin just off of like popularity.
Mhm. Yeah, especially
Dave
after.
I mean, I'll pick Dave over Kevin. I like old school Kevin.
Me too.
Hey, but it was good chatting with y'all. I can't wait to be back on y'all show.
Mm. Okay.
Cool.
Well,
we're happy to have you, man.
We are
before you leave real quick, can you plug your show again?
My show is September 7th, Inside Breeze Lounge at 7:30. Every pre-sold ticket comes with a drink. We're going to have a turn-up right afterwards, $3, you call it. Rat Packs of Comedy, and we also got Mike Garza performing. He's doing his thing as well, and I'll be your host. Woo, woo, woo. All right, bye.
Wow.
Yep. Well, we appreciate you, man.
You gone?
Hello?
I think you're gone. You might
nope, he's still here. You there? Yeah, I think we got disconnected.
Well, that's a good dude.
Yes.
Yeah, some people was inboxing me about the show on Saturday. I let them know we're gonna talk with Clifton, and I'll be in the house Saturday. To see him, because I've been to a couple of his shows. I don't think he gives himself enough credit, but he's hilarious, and he has the potential to probably blow up. Even though he may not want to, he probably will, especially if he's being coached and mentored by D.L. Hughley. You know what I'm saying? It's like nothing, to see him opening up for D.L. Hughley, or if they decide to do another King of Comedy or anything like that, I can see him opening up for him, and because of that, he'd probably blow up.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish him. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, go ahead, continue. I'm going to add Darius to the conversation. He's been waiting patiently.
Oh, okay. I wish Clifton, if you're still listening while you're driving, I wish you the best of luck. We HubNet Online Network will support you. Again, like I said earlier, you're welcome to stop in and talk to us about your next gig, whatever you're working on, any kind of function, and so on and so forth, inside of San Antonio, Texas, or outside of Texas, whatever you got going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, Darius.
Most definitely.
Yes, ma'am.
You always show. What's happening, Darius? What's going on? You holding down? You doing all right?
Yes, I've been doing good. We at my church, we got a new pastor, and they getting everything set up. Football season's kicking off tomorrow, NFL.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We're going down.
Yeah. Packers,
how's
Bears.
How's your team looking?
Well, I say as of right now, my Browns look good on paper, but I'm nervous about this game this Sunday against the Titans because I don't know which Browns team's going to show up. I don't know which team's going to show up.
Who they playing?
I can tell you which Brown team's going to show up. Darius, I know you's coming with comedy tonight, too. Goddamn, everybody's playing tonight, huh?
Hey, let me tell you something. I've been a Browns fan all my life, so I'm used to heartbreak and failure, but at the end of the day, I still wear them colors.
Hey, listen, man.
Who they playing, Hunter?
I don't even know who they play. It don't even matter. I love you, Darius, but you want to know what team is showing up? Doo-doo Brown. That's who's showing up.
Hey, that's the same from the Players Club. So that's Jamie. I think I like the interview. Jamie Foxx said he got his start from In Living Color. I wanted to ask that comedian like it. Did he ever watch like episodes or clips of In Living Color and probably got some good jokes out of from the original cast and put it in his show?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. A whole bunch of people came up off In Living Color.
Tommy Davidson, David Allen Greer. I can't think of that white boy's name. He had me in tears.
Jim Carrey?
Jim Carrey when he did the Fire Marshal
mm-hmm.
Bill.
mm-hmm.
Jim Carrey, he's, I don't know if he's done stand-up, but he killed me.
Yes, he did.
Oh, my
he's
goodness.
Hilarious.
He had me in tears laughing when he did the Fire Marshal Bill.
Yeah.
You can probably find Jim Carrey old stand up stuff. You can find all the old stand up stuff on YouTube. You know, they got all that old stuff. But I remember seeing Jim Carrey before he even got on Living Color. That's where they, you know, they knew him from the comic circuit. You know?
Kim Coles was on In Living Color on the first season in 1990, then she left the show.
Yeah.
Mm, that's what I was going to ask Clifton about, female comedian. What was his take on that? But I'll catch him next time. Yeah. Because they had a special on Netflix with some female comedians talking about how it is with what you call it, Tiffany Haddish. We had some girls on there. And reach back. That was a good ass comedy show. That's something I would like to do. But you know, Tiffany's using her stardom and her connections to bring them girls out of the hood or bring them out of hard times and stuff like that. And I said, well, let me see.
Mm-hmm.
And they are actually funny. They are actually funny.
And you know what? I'm glad you brought that up because it ties into something when he was talking about not being too famous. Tiffany Haddish. She was going to suffer from one of the same issues Kevin Hart was starting to suffer from. We're seeing you too much. So I don't know who's managing her or who's, you know, or if this is her making her own decisions, but the idea to go to Netflix and create a show or be a part of a show where you're bringing future female comedians up is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
It is brilliant. It is a master strategy because we at one point you couldn't turn the TV on without seeing either her or Kevin Hart. And then when we saw both of them together, that movie didn't do too good in the box office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not by the studio standards. There won't be a part two. So if y'all looking for it, don't worry about it. It ain't make the money they wanted to make. But it's because it's oversaturation. And one of the, you know, one of the old sayings is, yeah.
She's talking to the kids doing the show with the kids say the darnest thing. Now she's hosting that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I guess in their world, all of them want to be Steve Harvey. But at the same time, you don't want to be Steve Harvey right now.
I don't like him.
You do.
I don't like him.
You don't want to be him. You don't want to be Paul Mooney. You don't. There's a couple folks you don't want to be in the comedy world. You know, poor Paul Mooney. I grew up with Paul Mooney. I looked at him as as one of my idols.
I'm gonna have to talk to you after the show about that because I don't know what's happening with Paul Mooney. But if Tiffany was gangster, if she was really gangster, and this is where she would get a salute from me, if she partner up and bring Monique to bring her up, that would be gangster.
I wouldn't bring Monique to a damn ham sandwich fight. No, thank you. Keep her, and that retarded ass husband right where they at. Don't mess up your career putting her on nothing.
But wait a minute. Monique and Steve Harvey had that little thing on the show. Now Steve Harvey lost his TV show, couple other shows. And I didn't like him because of the stories I've heard about he disrespecting his wife, not letting her see her son, going through what might be another divorce. I'm not about that.
Yeah, hold on. That's a hell of an echo going on here. Okay, all right.
Well, I just thought that would be some good sister love and give Monique is still gonna bring some audience. People gonna still come see her.
Yeah. It's just a big stage. Yeah, Monique is going to always sell out somewhere, but it's just when it comes to the big stage, the big screen, she kind of got to know how to manage your business. You know what I mean? You gotta play ball. It's one thing when you go and make your own stuff, and if you can do like Tyler Perry did, you got the money to go and create your own studio, buy acres, hundreds of acres of land, create your own shit. You know. So just imagine sometimes when you're watching these Tyler Perry shows and movies, those houses, those neighborhoods, those blocks, all that land is his.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's someone that put those houses up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So if she can pull a move like that, you can act how you want to act. But until then, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. But, we're 2 minutes. Less than 2 minutes. 1 minute and 30 seconds. You want to wrap up, lady?
We appreciate you calling in, Darius. Make sure.
Yeah.
This is Hakim's birthday week, so hopefully he'll turn up instead of turning up some covers. And we want to wish him a happy birthday on the show. Happy birthday, Hakim.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All you listeners that was inboxing me questions, I'll get them to Clifton and have him back on so he can answer those questions for you. Catch him on social media. Look him up on his Facebook page and inbox him if you need to have some, want to know where he's going to be at. And that's pretty much it. We're doing the thing. We're going into the new year 2020, God willing, and we're going to end out this year with HubNet Online Radio with a bang. So y'all stay tuned.
Peace, y'all.
Peace. Good night.
Good night.